for building respectful dialogue. Many times I've encountered kind of a blocking wall in this regard to dialogue. Ajahn Brahm was speaking about some of the monks in various situations that he's encountered, and I'd like to tell you a very short story. One time in Thailand, I went to visit one of the Sangha universities, Mahamongkut. Some friends brought me there, and when they saw my female form in this color of robe, then there was a little bit of excitement, and they wished to introduce me to the, not the rector, as the rector wasn't there, but the vice rector. They came into the office to meet with the vice rector, and I paid my respects and sat down. And the very first thing that the vice rector said was, looking at me, he asked, "Are you a bhikkhuni?" The translator answered for me. The first thing that he said was, "Bhikkhunis do not exist." Kind of as an opener to the dialogue. Many times I've seen the dialogue actually stop right there. And I've heard about this happening so many times as well. Really beyond counting. I'm kind of grating to a halt with that. That's the end of that. We can't communicate with each other if this is how it's going to be. The lady who was supposed to be translating for me started crying. The one who was with her asked my forgiveness for bringing me there. It seems like a kind of major disaster. Except for we sat there for 1 minute more, breathing in and breathing out, thinking about a heart of loving kindness, blending together like milk and water, thinking, this is just an expression of where this person's understanding was at just a minute ago, contemplating impermanent non-self things in the Dhamma, yes, taking apart the five aggregates. So he sat there quietly for maybe another 30 seconds like that, with this kind of contemplation, and then this thing happened where we both relaxed. And started to actually look at each other, not only the form in this kind of energetic coming up on the form and the ideas, but the whole thing started to relax. And a minute later then he asked me, "Well, where are you from?" "I don't know." "Where are you from?" I answered, started talking, asked some more questions, talking about that, and, "Well, how did you come to ordain?" The lady who's translating, her crying stops, and she starts relaxing and looking a little bit more bright, and our conversation went on for some time, and I asked some questions about him, about the university, about his life as a monk. "Well, where are you from?" And "When did you ordain? How long have you been here? What brought you into this? What's your life like?" And the whole thing opened up and like unbound in just being that shift into looking upon one another with kindly eyes. And understanding that opening of mutual compassion. That at the end of this meeting, which seemed to start in a very disastrous way, disastrous but memorable way, he enthusiastically brought me off to see the whole Dhammadutta section of the university, showed me the library, gave me free access to all of the Vinaya books in the library, brought out a number of other monks to help with that process, suggested whether it might be possible to come and be a guest lecturer. And proudly called upon and wanted me to meet the first nun, the first Meiji, who had graduated from their Dhamma Dutta program. Very proudly. In fact, he had had a lot of consideration before that about nuns, about women in Buddhism, and thinking what might be for their welfare, and trying to support that in the only way that he, I think that he thought that he could. But it changes moment by moment, doesn't it?